welcome to today's very special episode of Margaritas with Margarita Chang, CFP Pro. We are launching the first of our monthly webinar series to help you flex your financial muscles even more. As you know, Rita is the CEO of the Washington, D.C.-based company Blue Ocean Global Wealth, and for decades, she has been working with clients to help them really get a harness on what it is that they need to know to be financially savvy. Today's first webinar is the foundation of that, planning for Social Security and making the most of it. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, producer of Rita's show on the Incandescent Radio Network and Incandescent TV, and I know that I am going to learn as much today as you are. So take it away, Miss Rita.
Well, thank you so much, Hope. I'm so excited to be here for our first webinar. It is a topic that is truly near and dear to my heart. I know I say that a lot about topics, but Social Security is really the foundation of retirement security. So let's get to it. So understanding your Social Security benefits. This is actually one of my favorite quotes, and it's by Theodore Roosevelt. In any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing you can do is the wrong thing. And the worst thing that you can do is nothing. Now, what does this have to do with Social Security and financial planning? Everything. So you are going to learn something today. So Social Security, I am a certified financial planner, or I say CFP Pro. And a CFP Pro will help you integrate Social Security claiming strategies as part of your retirement plan. Because as mentioned, Social Security is the foundation of retirement security. And today, you are going to learn that Social Security is the choice of a lifetime. Social Security is not just a monthly check. It is a valuable asset. The decision when to choose Social Security and when to retire are very personal. So sources of retirement income. Social Security is at the bottom because it is the foundation. And then there's pensions, otherwise known as DB or defined benefit plans. Savings and investments. You may know them as DC plans or defined contribution plans. They would be the 401ks, 457, 403B, as well as IRAs, SEP IRAs, simple IRAs, and Roth IRAs, and other income. Other income could mean rental income, royalties, maybe you have a side hustle. In other words, sources of income that are not listed in the other three categories. So what does Social Security offer? Remember, it's not just a monthly check. I know as certified financial planners, we're not necessarily allowed to say the word guaranteed. So if you're not comfortable seeing or hearing guaranteed lifetime income because a lot of the changes that are happening, we can say that Social Security offers sustainable, predictable income. It's also inflation adjusted. There are survivor and spousal benefits, not just your individual workers' benefits. And last but certainly not least, Social Security does offer preferential tax treatment. So that's what Social Security offers. Oh my goodness, Social Security benefits. So we're going to get to this, how you determine your individual benefit. But this is how Social Security benefits are calculated. They're based on average career earnings. And in 2022, the Social Security earnings cap is $147,000. It was $137,700 in 2021. So what does the earnings cap mean? That means that you and your employer, now if you're self-employed, you are the employer and the employee, that means that earnings up to $147,000 are taxed for purposes of Social Security. Anything above that, that threshold, so if it's $150,000, you only pay and your employer only pays Social Security taxes on the first $147,000 of income. And in 2022, remember I said Social Security has inflation protection. The maximum benefit, the maximum unreduced amount. So this is the amount that somebody would take at their full retirement age. And we're going to learn what full retirement age is. It has increased to $3,345 per month. Now, for somebody who decides to defer or wait, their maximum has risen to $4,194 at age 70. And someone who may choose to take early, 2,364. I know there's a lot of numbers, but we're going to get into the specifics so that you know what's relevant to your situation. Now, what's interesting is, of course, top wage earners receive more benefits, but not as much as their higher earnings would suggest. Why is that? Social Security is means tested, so it is designed to replace a higher percentage of income for people who are low to moderate income. So full retirement age. So I just want to be clear here. People can start to receive Social Security as early as age 62. But remember, just because you can start to receive it doesn't mean you should. You can wait until age 70. So when is your full retirement age? And full retirement age refers to the age at which you can start to receive Social Security benefit, your unreduced benefit. And you can see that for anybody born after 1960, full retirement age is going to be 67. In 2014, I know this chart is a little bit old, but this is still true. In 2014, people born in 1948 will reach age 66. And there's no point in delaying past age 70 because your benefit doesn't grow any further. So how do I find out what my benefit is? So this is your first call to action. I want everybody, even if you looked at it a couple years ago, it really makes sense to look at it again because you want to make sure that you're working with the most accurate numbers. So you want to go to ssa.gov and create an account. You can create your own Social Security account today. And you want to set it up. It's super easy. In fact, I help people do this all the time, and you will get a PDF of your statement. And this is what a new statement looks like. This statement is the new statement that is available in 2022. And what I love about this is it will show you what your benefits are as early as age 62, at your full retirement age, and then the largest benefit, age 70. So right here, we are not violating confidentiality. This is the Social Security benefit for Wanda Worker. And you can see in this example, at age 62, Wanda is eligible to receive $1,465 per month. And her benefit grows each month. Now here, you will also see that she has disability benefits and survivor benefits. Going to go to the next page. Your next page may look a little bit different because it has earnings history. And remember, this statement was generated January 3rd, 2022. The earnings from 2021 have not yet been reported yet. And you can see how much you paid in Social Security taxes and how much your employer paid, as well as how much you paid in Medicare taxes and your employer. So we know about full retirement age. FRA is the age at which you can start to receive Social Security, and it's not going to be reduced. So how do we calculate FRA? It's based on the 35 years of earnings history. Now, sometimes people ask, well, Rita, like, what if I don't have 35 years of earnings history? So this is very important. Everything's important, but this is really important because if there's a year in which you didn't earn income, there's going to be a zero there. So each extra year of income replaces a zero. So it's okay if you have low income. Low income is better than no income. So this is what I always tell people. An extra year of income has tremendous value for three reasons. The most obvious is you have an extra year of income. It isn't just that $50,000 salary you earn. You're also replacing a zero with higher dollar amounts, and you will receive an increase in your primary insurance amount. PIA is the unreduced benefit. And then the other thing that is very important and maybe not so obvious, I know it's obvious, hey, Rita, if I'm working another year, of course I get a paycheck and I've increased my base upon which my Social Security benefit is calculated, but then your savings is also lasting. So every year that you work means another year that you are not tapping your savings. Primary insurance amount, PIA. So I make sure that I don't use too many acronyms without explaining what they are. PIA, or the primary insurance amount, is the unreduced Social Security benefit. In other words, that is the amount that you are entitled to receive at your full retirement age. Remember, I mentioned earlier that Social Security is means tested. And so that means is it is designed to replace a higher percentage of income for low to moderate wage earners. And so this is the calculation, and it is adjusted every year. What I mean by adjusted every year, not the percentages, 90%, 32%, or 15%, the dollar amount. So this is how your primary insurance amount is calculated. It's 90% of the first $960 you earn, your average monthly earnings. That's the first endpoint. Then it's 32% of the amount over the 996 to 6,002. That's the second bend point. And then 15% of the average index monthly earnings over 6,002. So you can see that it is designed to replace a higher percentage for low to moderate income earners. I think the key takeaway here is at age 62, 90% of men have 30 years of earnings history compared to 30% of women. Why women are more likely to take breaks from work for caregiving for children or aging relatives. Cost of living, as mentioned, Social Security, this has been top of mind inflation. Social Security doesn't just provide lifetime income, it is inflation adjusted. And people always ask me, well, how is that calculated? So every year, so sometime in at the end of the third quarter, the beginning of the fourth quarter, the COLA is announced. And the COLA for the following year is determined, like I said, at the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. So for 2017, the COLA increase was 0.2%. Maybe inflation wasn't so much of a concern. For 2018 and 2019, 2% and 2.8 respectively. 2020, 1.3. In 2021, 5.9%. And please note that the increase in Medicare premiums is not permitted to exceed the COLA increase. So sometimes when you hear retirees say, you know, I feel like I'm having difficulty with rising healthcare costs. That's real to them because their Medicare premiums are also increasing. But the key takeaway here is the Medicare premiums are not permitted to increase, have a larger increase than the increase for Social Security benefits. So I put this slide in here again because I think it's so important. So you can see at full retirement age, that is the age when people can receive their unreduced benefits. If you take it earlier, your benefits will be reduced. So I just want to go all the way to age 62. There is nothing wrong with starting to take your benefits early. You just want to make sure that you're making an informed decision. Some people mistakenly assume that if they take benefits at age 62, that when they reach 66, they'll start to receive 100%. And that's not the case. The reason why is if you start collecting at age 62, you will have collected for a longer period of time. So it's really important. There's nothing wrong with having to take benefits early. I've advised clients to take benefits early. I've also advised clients to delay, and I've advised clients to take them on time. The decision when to start receiving Social Security is very personal. It's not just based on your health. It's also based on your income, your expenses, family situation, and so forth. So Social Security claiming ages. So you can start to apply 3 months in advance of when you'd like to start to receiving benefits. And you can apply by visiting that website. So I tell people it's really important to create an online account so that you can see your benefits. So a client retiring today and claiming age 62 will have a benefit 75% of their primary insurance amount. A client retiring today and claiming at 70 will have a larger benefit. And we'll get into specifics so that you can see how that works. So if you claim before retirement age, full retirement age, that is, you are locking in a permanent reduction. And if the number exceeds 36 months, it's even reduced further. So here are some examples of the actuarial reduction. So Dan Williams retires and claims benefits 3 years early. So his monthly benefit would be reduced by 20%. So it's 5 nights times 36, because 3 years is 36 months. And so it's 20%. So by claiming 3 years early, he has reduced his benefit, which was $1,200, to $960. Now, Jill Lawson retires and claims benefits 4 years early. So her benefits would be reduced a little bit further. So if you claim 3 years early, it's 5 nights of 1% for every month. So it's 5 nights times 36, because 36 is 3 years. That's 20%. And then 5/12 for that fourth year is 5%. So by claiming benefits early, in this example, Jill reduced her $1,500 Social Security benefit to $1,125 at age 62. Now, as mentioned, I just want to stress there's nothing wrong with taking it early, but you want to make sure that you're making an informed decision. And I have clients, I remember I was invited to my client's 60th birthday, and he turned 70 this year. And he said to me, he's like, Rita, when I was a teen, I thought 60 was so old. And here I am 70. And come to think of it, 62 really wasn't old. There's so many things that I've been able to do in retirement. So the takeaway here is the decision when to start receiving Social Security is very personal. Now that we've talked about decreases, let's see an example for an actuarial increase. Claiming after full retirement age, your benefit is increased by 2/3 of 1%. So if you delay, it may not be all or none. Maybe your full retirement age is 66 or 67, and maybe you can't wait till 70 or don't want to wait till 70. Even delaying by 1 year is an 8% increase. If you have a spouse or partner, this is where it's really helpful to do planning. It's not about maximization. If we're maximization, we'd all wait till 70, but it's really about optimizing and finding out what's right for you. So in this case, if you wait 4 years or 48 months, this is where the 32% comes in. 2/3 times 48 is 32. So here are examples of people who've decided to increase by delaying their benefits. So here, Julia Brown retires. So remember, the decision when to retire and when to start receiving Social Security, there are two separate and distinct decisions. There's nothing in the world to stop her from retiring before full retirement age. We just have to make sure she has money to be able to maintain her standard of living. So by delaying, she will increase her benefits by 16%. So 2/3 times 24, because there's 12 months in a year and there's 2 years. So she has permanently locked in an increase of $1,400 to $1,624. Now you may be saying, oh my gosh, $224, that's not really a lot of money. But think about this, 224 times 12, right? Over your lifetime. A lot of times people think about break-even analysis. And I think there's some that can be very helpful, but we also, this is also very, it's not an easy decision because we have no idea how long we're going to live. We also have no idea how the markets are going to perform. And last but certainly not least, we have no idea what inflation is going to be. So there's a lot of unknowns here. But that doesn't mean we can't plan. We just plan for different scenarios. In this situation, James Young retires and delays benefits 4 years beyond his full retirement age. So this is where the 32% comes in. And you can see that this is pretty powerful. By delaying, he has increased his lifetime income from Social Security from $1,600 to $2,112. That is $5,112 extra dollars per month. That's more than $6,000 a year. We are talking serious money here. So remember I said there's going to be times when it may make sense to start to raise Social Security as soon as you are able. If you've experienced job loss or income volatility or significant loss of income, you may want to start receiving Social Security, but you have to be mindful of the earnings test. Earnings test means that if you start to receive Social Security prior to your full retirement age, you need to make sure that your earnings does not exceed $19,560. This amount goes up every year. I mean, I remember it wasn't that long ago when it was $15,000. And so what that means, earnings means W-2 earnings. And also it does not mean, it does not include pension income, interest or dividends. It means like earned income from W-2, or even if you are an independent contractor or consultant. At full retirement age though, you can earn up to $51,960. And then after full retirement age, there is no earnings limit. So what I wanted to talk to you here about is people ask me like, what happens? I'm looking here and it says a dollar of benefits withheld for every $2 in earnings above the limit. And then at full retirement age, a dollar withheld for every $3. Where's that money going? This is what's called forced suspension, because you have earned more than the earnings limit. It's not voluntary suspension, it's forced suspension, and you will get that money back. But Social Security Administration will recognize that you earned beyond that limit and your Social Security benefits will put in forced suspension. That just means that you'll get more later. So I wanted to make sure when people see withholding, they're like, where's my money going? One of the bullet points I listed is Social Security does have preferential tax treatment. So that your taxation of Social Security depends on your provisional income. And this provisional income is adjusted every couple of years. It's not necessarily every year. It's held constant for the past couple of years. And I want to clarify something. Hope and I talked about this before. When people see that for somebody single who has provisional income between $24,000 and $34,000, they see 50% taxable, they panic. They're like, oh my gosh, that means I have to pay 50% taxes on my Social Security. No, that just means up to 50% of your Social Security benefit could be taxable. It does not mean it's taxed at 50%. So if you go down to the chart and see married filing jointly, if your provisional income is above $44,000, does not mean you pay 85% on your Social Security. It means that up to 85% of your benefit could be taxable, up to. And your provisional income is determined by your pension income, income from investments, income from savings, income from municipal bonds, income from required minimum distribution. So your provisional income may change year to year. So it's really important that you pay attention and work with someone who can help you plan so that you're not unpleasantly surprised. Deemed filing rules. So there have been rules. There've been some changes to Social Security, and I want to explain what the deemed filing rules. In the past, people could file restricted or suspend their benefits. Those strategies are no longer available. And the reason why is right now we're dealing with what is called the deemed filing rule. And that means when individuals file a claim for Social Security benefits, they can no longer specify which benefit they want. In the past, people would say, well, I want to restrict my benefits, but allow my spouse to collect on my benefits. Those strategies are no longer available, but we're still able to plan and be proactive. So I wanted to make sure that I explained the deemed filing rule. It means that people can no longer select what benefit they want to pick. Social Security will give you the highest benefit to which you're eligible to receive today. This is another way of clarifying this. In other words, You don't have choice in saying what you want. Social Security has a responsibility. Now, they can't give you advice because they don't know your situation. It's not that they're mean. They can't give you advice, but they must inform you and process your application for the largest benefit for which you are eligible. In other words, we can no longer select which benefit we want to collect. There are some exceptions, and the exceptions are widowhood. So before we get to widowhood, I'm going to talk about divorce, right? An impact of remarriage on claiming strategies. So divorced spouses, now you must have been married for at least 10 years, not 9 years and 6 months, not 9 years and 11 months, but it has to be 10 years. It could be 10 years in one day, 10 years in 1 week, 10 years in 1 month. You get where I'm going this. You must be married at least 10 years to be eligible for benefits on a prior marriage. Both spouses must be at least 62. And the ex-spouse seeking the benefit must be unmarried. The other thing that's very important for people to know, people always amazed when I say this. They ask me, like, Rita, you mean to tell me? I was like, that's exactly what I mean to tell you. If you have been married 10 years and you have not remarried, and both you and your ex are at least age 62, you may, I say may, be eligible to collect on your spouse's earning record. It may not make sense, but you may be eligible, right? Now, this is what's very impactful. Divorced spousal benefits do not affect the benefits of the worker and the current family. You do need to provide some documentation. You need to provide your ID, your marriage license, your divorce decree. But you don't really need to talk to him. I'm saying him. I understand that that's usually common, but it could be the other way around. Divorced spousal retirement benefits can begin at 62. But remember, by applying, you may be locking in a lower benefit. So it's important to know what you have so that you can plan. So Social Security rules for divorce. Remember, if there's anything you take away today, you need to make sure that you go online and you create an account. If you know, have anybody in your community of friends and family, you need to make sure that they stay married for at least 10 years before they get divorced, right? And the couple must be divorced at least 2 years. Now, the reason why I say that is the ex-spouse is independently entitled to receive benefits on former spouse's earnings record, even if the spouse has not claimed benefits. And I know I said this before, both exes must be 62. And if people were born after 54, they may not have this option. There's other options, but this is really important because I can't tell you, you know, my mommy went to her high school reunion and she said, I can't believe so-and-so divorced after 40 years of marriage. And I said, Mommy, they're high school sweethearts. When people are living till the 90s and you're looking at this person you met in high school, you know, when you're 55, 60, you're thinking, oh my God, do I want to be with this person till 90? So there still are people out there who are not aware of these options. So survivor benefits. So the language for widows and widowers is also known as survivors. So when I say widows benefit, it could be widowers. It could also be known as survivor's benefit. So widows or widowers, they're survivors. They can start to receive Social Security at age 60. If disabled, widows, widowers, and survivors can start to receive it at age 50. And if they're caring for a deceased worker's child who is younger than 16 or disabled, the widows or widower or survivor can receive Social Security at any age, meaning it's not 60, it's not 50. So widows and widowers, this is an opportunity. So remember I said about the deemed filing rule? This is actually an opportunity for a lot of planning. And I work with a lot of widows. I work with divorcees, and sometimes I work with widows who've also been divorced. So it's like very nuanced. So remember I said you cannot switch because of the deemed filing rule. Widows, widowers can begin benefits on their earnings record and switch to survivor. His or her benefit will earn an extra 8% actual increase. They'll earn what we call DRC, Deferred Retirement Credit. As the Social Security Administration states, a widow's can take a reduced benefit on one record and switch to the other. So for example, remember the earnings test also applies. So a widow could start to receive her benefit at 60 or 62, provided she does not exceed that income, and then switch to a larger benefit later on. So here's an example, widow benefits before Social Security is started. If the spouse dies before receiving Social Security benefits, the survivor benefits are equal to the deceased spouse primary insurance amount. That's the unreduced full retirement benefit. If the worker dies prior to attaining the primary insurance amount, meaning they never collected, the amount at FIR may be a little bit less than what you saw on the statement because they didn't work to get to that point. It's not so different, but if, for example, if you thought that the benefit was $2,216 and it was $2,146, that explains a little bit of differential because the deceased worker did not work enough to get that full benefit. Widow's benefits after Social Security is started. If the spouse dies after starting Social Security benefits, the benefits are equal to the deceased monthly benefit. So I can give you examples. My dad passed away 6 years ago. And while my mommy and daddy were on this earth together, my mom had her Social Security check and my dad had his. My mom's benefit was $876 and my dad's benefit was about $2,700. So while they're both on this earth, we have two checks coming in. When my dad passed away, my mom, her smaller check dropped off and she was eligible to receive my dad's benefit because that's the larger benefit. So that's what we mean about the survivor benefit. So guidelines. So remember I told you guidelines about divorcees. So the most important thing is they need to be married at least 10 years. Not 9 years and 11 months. It could be 10 years and 1 month. Survivor benefits. For couples with one spouse as the primary earner, the higher earning spouse should delay benefits until age 70. The reason why is, remember, we learned that Social Security offers lifetime income, inflation adjusted income, and also survivor benefits. So my dad actually did this. My parents are 14 years apart. My dad retired at age 60, started receiving a pension at age 60, but he worked as an IT consultant for about 12 years. He started to receive Social Security at age 70. At that time, my mom was 56, too young for Social Security. But the reason why my daddy did that is to lock in the largest benefit to protect mommy. And so couples with large age differences, the older spouse, it could be a man, it could be a woman. It's just the one who's older should delay benefits. And if one spouse has a shorter life expectancy, it may make sense to have that spouse collect benefits. Well, this is where Social Security becomes very nuanced. The other thing is I did share that my dad delayed his benefits. This is a true story. He was so excited when my mommy turned 65 because that's when she'd be eligible for Medicare. My dad was so excited thinking about how much money he would save not having to pay so much for supplemental insurance. So then when my mom became eligible for Medicare, my dad is a little bit proactive. One could say he's a little bit controlling. He started to create an online Social Security account for my mom. And he's like, honey, you need to apply. My mom's like, no, why would I want to do that? He's like, but you can get $600 a month. She's like, nope, I'm waiting. It doesn't make sense for me to collect now because I'm either going to take 50% of your benefits or I am going to wait till my full retirement age. I'm not collecting now. So here are some questions. And I know there's a lot of moving parts. People ask me this. So can I collect survivor benefits if my ex-spouse dies? And the answer is yes. You would be entitled to the same survivor benefits as if you were still married, assuming the following. Your marriage lasted 10 years. You are currently single and you waited until age 60 or later to remarry. Now, somehow I did not want to type in red, so I chose purple. I love purple. Very important. Even if your ex remarries, provided your marriage lasted 10 years, you are currently single, and you waited until age 60 to remarry, your benefits will not affect the benefits of the ex-spouse's new family, and it's not going to reduce your benefit. So I put that in purple because I thought it was so important. Another question. I am currently receiving Social Security benefits on my late ex-husband's earning history and plan to remarry. What would happen? So we learned that if you're going to be divorced, you've got to wait. How many years? 10 years. And if you're going to remarry, you can remarry, but wait until you're 60 to remarry so you can keep your survivor benefits. Now, you can receive either spousal benefit, but you can't receive both. So as we wind down the presentation, just wanted to remind you that a CFP Pro can help you integrate Social Security as part of your retirement income. Social Security is the choice of a lifetime. It is a valuable asset, not just a monthly check. And visit ssa.gov to create an account and check your benefit. I'm Margarita, and thank you so much for tuning in with us today.
Thank you so much, Rita. That was perfect, amazing, and very, very informative. I really thank you for sharing that with us, first in your webinar series that we're going to be launching monthly. And anyone who has Social Security questions can reach you. Tell them how.
So you can reach me by visiting blueoceanglobalwealth.com. My email address is here, mchang@blueoceanglobalwealth.com. You can also follow me on social media. I'm on LinkedIn, the one and only Margarita Chang, and then Twitter, Blue Ocean GW.
Yep. And if you type in Margarita Chang, you will see her all over the place because she is just prolific and incredible. Thank you again. Fantastic information. We will see all of our viewers and listeners on Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern for Margaritas with Margarita Chang, CFP Pro. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs with the Incandescent Group. Thank you so much for your time. We will see you soon.